Part 2. Matchmaker or Troublemaker? Emma had decided to make a match between Mr. Elton and Harriet Smith. Emma was sure that Mr. Elton was already half in love with her.
"You have given Harriet so much," he told her. "You have made her graceful and elegant, Miss Woodhouse."
"Thank you, Mr. Elton."
"Let me ask you to paint her picture, Miss Woodhouse. You're a talented artist."
Harriet was very shy, but she agreed to sit for her portrait. Emma took out her watercolours and began to work. Mr. Elton sat near her, constantly jumping up to look at the picture.
"That is an excellent likeness."
"Thank you, Mr. Elton," said Emma. "He must be very much in love with her. I have only just begun," she thought.
"Harriet is not as beautiful as that,"
said Mr. Weston, arriving to see Mr. Woodhouse.
"You have made her too tall,"
said Mr. Knightley.
"Poor Harriet,"
said Mr. Woodhouse.
"You are painting her outdoors. She will catch cold." "Oh, no,"
said Mr. Elton.
"It is a perfect work of art. I will ride to London to have it framed."
Emma was very pleased. Mr. Elton was obviously in love. But next day, Harriet came to Hartfield soon after breakfast.
"What is the matter?"
asked Emma.
"Mr. Martin has written to me. He has asked me to marry him."
"He wants to have good connections,"
said Emma coldly.
"Please read the letter. It is a very good letter."
Emma was surprised to find that the letter was short but well written.
"But what shall I do?"
asked Harriet.
"You ought to write politely but firmly like a lady. Thank him for his offer, but explain that it is impossible."
"I had no idea that he liked me so much. Do you think that it is better to say no, Miss Woodhouse?"
"You must make your own decision."
"Then perhaps I ought to refuse him."
"Perfectly right, Harriet. If you were married to a farmer, I could never visit you. It would be socially impossible."
"Oh, Miss Woodhouse, I couldn't bear it. It would have killed me never to come to Hartfield again."
"Dear, sweet little friend,"
said Emma,
"let me help you write your answer."
The letter was sent.
"Poor Mr. Martin,"
said Harriet sadly.
"You will always be welcome here at Hartfield. And remember Mr. Elton. At this moment he is in London. Perhaps he is showing your portrait to his mother and sisters."
"Oh, Miss Woodhouse, do you think so?"
Next day, Mr. Knightley called on Emma. He was very angry when he found out that Harriet had refused Mr. Martin.
"The girl is a fool. Emma, is this your work? Did you persuade her to refuse him?"
"How can she accept him? He is not her equal."
"Not Harriet's equal? Harriet is pretty and kind, but that is all. Robert Martin is sensible, sincere, and is a natural gentleman."
"Anyway,"
said Emma,
"Harriet has a different destiny."
"Are you matchmaking?"
asked Mr. Knightley.
"Well, if Mr. Elton is a part of your plan, then you are making a great mistake."
He left angrily. Mr. Elton brought back the picture from London, and they hung it in the main room.
"It is a beautiful painting,"
he sighed. Harriet was busy writing out riddles in a book. It was a fashionable thing for young ladies to do, to copy clever pieces of literature.
"Why don't you write a riddle for us, Mr. Elton?"
asked Emma.
"I'm not clever enough,"
he said. But next day he arrived with a piece of paper. He gave it to Emma. When he had gone, Emma and Harriet read it together.
"In my first, rich kings live at ease."
"That means court,"
thought Emma.
"My second is the monarch of the seas."
"That means ship,"
thought Emma.
But ah, united, all man's freedom is flown, and woman, lovely woman, reigns alone."
"That means courtship,"
thought Emma.
"Your ready wit the word will soon supply. May its approval smile in that soft eye.
That is Harriet's soft eye,
thought Emma.
I don't understand,
said Harriet.
What does it mean? Monarch of the seas? Is that a mermaid or a shark?
Mermaids and sharks? Nonsense! My dear Harriet, the answer is courtship. It is written for you. I congratulate you with all my heart. Here is proof that Mr. Elton loves you.
Dear Miss Woodhouse,
said Harriet.
Oh, Mr. Elton is a true gentleman, like Mr. Knightley.
That evening, Mr. Elton called again.
Thank you for the riddle,
said Emma.
I have written it in Miss Smith's book.
That is an honour, Miss Woodhouse,
said Mr. Elton gallantly.
It is the proudest moment of my life.
Next day, Emma was walking in the village with Harriet.
One day, Harriet, you will live in the vicarage, and I shall come and visit you.
And I shall visit you, Miss Woodhouse, when you are married.
No, I shall never marry. I have never been in love because I have never met a superior man. I am content to live in my father's house. It is a perfect life.
They went to the cottage of a poor family of the village. Emma went inside to talk to the sick children and to offer advice and sympathy. Walking on, they met Mr. Elton in the lane. He walked with them until they reached the vicarage.
Harriet must go inside,
thought Emma.
I have an idea.
She stopped and pretended to tie her bootlace. While no one was looking, she broke the lace and threw it away.
Oh,
she cried.
Part of my lace is missing. Mr. Elton, may I stop at your house and ask your housekeeper for help?
Dear Miss Woodhouse, please come inside. Oh, and Miss Smith, too.
Inside the house, Emma asked the housekeeper to mend her boot, leaving Mr. Elton and Harriet alone in the next room.
Perhaps he will ask her to marry him.
But Emma was disappointed. He said nothing. Isabella, Mr. John Knightley, their five children and their nursemaids came to Hartfield for Christmas. One evening, they talked about the Westons.
But has Mr. Weston's son come to visit them since the wedding?
Asked John. When Mr. Weston's first wife had died, their son, Frank Churchill, had gone to live with his wealthy aunt and uncle in the north of England, in Yorkshire. He was now 23 years old, but his aunt, Mrs. Churchill, was a proud, stubborn old lady. She made it difficult for Frank to visit his father at Highbury.
No,
answered Emma.
He has written a letter promising to visit, but he has not yet come here. All of Highbury wants to see him.
Later, Mr. Knightley joined them for dinner. Emma was holding Isabella's baby daughter in her arms. He came up to her and she passed the child to him.
At least we can agree about our baby niece,
she said.
We both think that she is charming.
If you judged adults as well as you judged children, we would always agree,
he smiled.
I hope that Mr. Martin is not too disappointed.
A man could not be more disappointed.
I am very sorry,
said Emma sincerely.
But come, shake hands with me.
They were friends again. Later that evening, they decided that they would all visit Randall's on Christmas Eve. Mr. Elton and Harriet would be invited too. Unfortunately, Harriet developed a sore throat. Emma told Mr. Elton,
she is too ill to come to the party.
Be careful, Miss Woodhouse. Do not catch the infection from her.
But you must be careful too, Mr. Elton. Don't come out in the cold weather. Remember, you must preach on Christmas Day.
Thank you. The advice of such a beautiful lady is precious to me. But I am looking forward to the party.
How strange,
Emma thought.
The woman he loves is ill, but he still smiles.
Be careful, Emma,
said Mr. John Knightley.
I think Mr. Elton is in love with you. I have been watching him.
With me? What an idea! You are quite mistaken.